Hello everybody. This is the translation of Koala's message for Sunday the 16th of April. Grace, the most beautiful word of God. I rejoice in the privilege of being able to bring the message this morning. This is the first time for me in this church in Bergerac, so please bear with me. Be patient with me. Let's start for this first time with the basis of our faith, grace. If Jesus is the most beautiful name in the Bible, grace is certainly the most beautiful word of God. Grace is the most redemptive and joyful word in the New Testament. This is not surprising, because grace is the answer to man's deepest needs. We need an answer to sin that breeds the guilt, shame, fear, condemnation, and rejection that have come to dominate us since the fall. Man has nothing in himself to free himself from it and to start a new life. Only grace, brought to us by Jesus Christ, brings this liberation. No word characterizes and should characterize Christianity so much as the word grace. The best and unique thing the church can offer to the world is the grace of God. No religion, philosophy, psychology, or belief can offer grace. Yet receiving grace is not easy. One of the most difficult things for fallen man is apparently to receive grace, to live in grace and to serve in grace. The Bible teaches us that we are not only saved by grace, but that it is a principle of life. We must learn to live by grace. What is this grace, and who brings this grace that we humans need so much? In his Gospel, John beautifully describes who brings this grace when he recounts the impression Jesus made on him. Each person radiates something. Some radiate despondency, depression. Others, happiness, joy or peace, kindness, or rather anger or sadness. But when John saw the brightness of Jesus, that is to say his glory, he testified, "Jesus is full of grace and truth." John chapter 1, verse 14. Anyone who comes to him can receive this grace at any time. For out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Grace is God's unmerited gift that gives us everything we need. In his grace we receive forgiveness and redemption from our sins, and everything we need to walk according to his will and become what he wants us to be. We can never achieve it in our own strength. We can never deserve it. Grace offers us everything that every human being desperately needs, but that only God can give. What is grace? Grace is a favour granted freely to someone. When we use the word grace, we are expressing that God's love extends to men who have deserved judgment. In the Bible, grace means the gift of forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption without any merit. Grace is a proof of love granted to someone who deserves the opposite. Receiving grace means receiving God's unconditional love and passing it on. Grace cannot be paid or repaid. It can only be accepted as a gift by faith. In the Bible, grace is the gift of the person of Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no grace and there can be no grace, for grace demands a price to be paid. Grace costs nothing to him who received it and everything to him who gives it. It costs God the gift of his only Son, who offered himself on the cross. Indeed, grace without sacrifice is impossible. Grace costs us who received it nothing, but it has cost God everything. Grace cost him the extremely high price of his son. By accepting judgment in his own body, Christ fulfilled the law that we had broken and for which we should have been judged. This is how God found a way to forgive. Grace can be a free gift because he himself paid the price. Grace is the unmerited favour of God. It is the most beautiful gift that God gives to human beings. Grace comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We can receive it within the framework of a permanent and personal relationship with Christ. Learning to receive it can be a big problem. If there is anything difficult for human nature, it is to receive grace and to continue to live in grace. It's not too hard to agree to be saved by grace, but then we start to think it's all up to us and we start trying. We begin to rely on our Christian works and accomplishments rather than on him alone. We think that God loves us a little more when we do things for him, that he is a little more pleased with us when we are wise. Yet grace expects nothing from us but expects everything from God. But us, we forget to trust in him for all things and to remain entirely dependent on him. To receive grace, one must recognize one's weakness and powerlessness. God's grace is revealed where we depend on him. Asking for grace means admitting our defeat and it touches our pride. Grace goes against our senses of entitlement and independence. Living in grace and remaining proud is impossible. There is nothing more humiliating than living in grace. Most relationship problems in families, in churches, in friendships, at work, come from an incompetence to receive grace and give it to others. In a relationship, we often want to be right, but if our reason or our right destroys a relationship, we are not experiencing grace. The problem stems from our inability to receive grace ourselves and give it to others. We hear about grace, but we don't experience it. The good news of the gospel of grace has not penetrated the realm of our emotions. David Siemens has written many books on inner healing and said, "I find that the two most important causes for emotional problems with evangelical Christians are not understanding, receiving and living from the unconditional grace and forgiveness of God, and not being able to transmit this love, grace and forgiveness unconditional to others. We read, we hear, we believe the gospel of God's grace, but it has not penetrated our emotions. The world is often ruthless. It all depends on what I'm doing and my performance. But where grace reigns, it all depends on what God does. This is why it is so important for the Holy Spirit to apply the message of grace to our hearts, to receive deep within our being this free forgiveness and unconditional love." A theologian once said, "The greatest heresy is to emphasize what we do for God rather than what God does for us." Grace doesn't count on our performance, it counts on God's. Grace means that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. Often we Christians are a bit double-minded, even a bit too much. From an early age I heard about grace, yet the Christian environment in which I grew up was not characterized by grace. Then at some point in my life I had taken a path which was not in harmony with God, which was not a path of life, but I was not aware of it. And at the same time I was preparing to do a great work for God, to go on a mission. During this time of preparation with the mission, God made me aware of the fact that in my relational life I was off track, that I was at a dead end. It shook me. It plunged me into a black hole and I said to myself, "Who am I to claim to be able to go on a mission? I am a disaster. What do I have to announce to others?" I was desperate. Then through a book, God revealed his love to me. The book described a situation comparable to mine and the gaze of God on the person in this situation. There was only his love. I only saw love, no condemnation, only love. I think it was the first time in my life when I received his grace deep within me. I was experiencing what Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." John chapter 8, verse 7. I was confounded by his love. I saw grace and love in his eyes, and that gave me the strength to leave this dead path, even if it was not easy, and to gradually find the path of life. I had to forgive myself. It was quite a process, but forgiveness, grace, and the unconditional love of the Lord gave me the strength to do it. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. Grace is truly good news. Justice demanded that a rebellious son be stoned. Grace embraces a prodigal son. Justice demanded that the adulteress be stoned. Grace forgives and says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Receive the grace of God. Yet man is not passive when he receives God's grace. This does not detract from the gratuity of grace. One must hear the gospel of God's grace, receive it by faith, and come to know it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. We know the word grace in common expressions such as grace to give grace, to express gratitude, thanks. The Spanish word for thank you is gracias. By thanking God in faith, we receive grace. Thanksgiving sets grace in motion, and grace makes us grateful and happy. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We serve by grace. We bear fruit by grace. We receive answers to prayer by grace. Yes, we are meant to reveal grace in all its beauty. As believers, we can come before the throne of grace boldly to find grace whenever we need it. Prayer is the way to receive this grace. The Christian life is lived the same way from the beginning. It begins with grace and with faith, and it continues with grace and with faith. May God our Father, through the Holy Spirit, give us in Jesus Christ a deep understanding of grace in all its beauty and fullness, and may it be revealed through us so that Jesus may be glorified in all things. Amen.